You're listening to OWW Radio,
the official radio show of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
All right, so here we are, living it day by day. You are a superstar, and you said what she used to always say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of OWW Radio. This is the official radio program of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Each week, OWW Radio will bring perspective to the WWE, TNA, and everything else making news in the world of professional wrestling. My name is David, and today I welcome my good friend, Matthew Robles, a.k.a. the MK Bandit, to the program. Matthew Robles, welcome to OWW Radio.
It's wonderful to be here. Thank you very much.
Well, it's always fun having you on the show. I think this is your second time joining the program, and we had you on last summer. What have you been up to since then?
Well, I've been doing a lot. I've been working with Destiny Wrestling Organization in Albuquerque, where Bubba Ray just became champion of their organization and declared the championship a world championship. And I've been working with Main Event in NWA Main Event, all over Texas, and of course, Ultra Championship Wrestling in Salt Lake.
Right. The last time we had you on, I mean, you were the commissioner of UCW Zero. Are you still doing that role?
That is correct. I still am commissioner. It's been kind of I've been doing more announcing there than commissionering, just because of my time constraints with what I've been doing nationally, as opposed to, unfortunately, the past few shows have conflicted with some of my national stuff, so I haven't been able to do as much commissioner stuff as I should probably.
I saw some pictures on Facebook of your work with Destiny Wrestling Organization. You said it's based in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Is that correct?
That is correct. That is exactly it. It's the only organization running in Albuquerque or in New Mexico right now because of the Athletic Commission.
That sounds like the old days when Vince McMahon had to fight with the Athletic Commissions in every state.
Well, and to be honest with you, that's what we've been having to do with the Athletic Commission in New Mexico, because they really have a stranglehold on it, and it's taken 2 years for us to actually get a show put on there, and we've had, this is our fourth show, and we basically just had to appease the commission. There was no way around it. We're not Vince McMahon.
Well, so you got a lot on your plate with UCW Zero, Destiny Wrestling Organization, and NWA Main Event. And you said NWA Main Event's based in Texas. Is that right?
That is correct. They're based in Texas. It's a traveling show. We did a show just in Marshall. We're doing what's called the Journey to Kings Road, where we're basically doing a different show in every city. March 21st will be in Mansfield, Louisiana. April 11th, we're going to be in Henderson. Then we've got April 25th is going to be in Carthage, all heading towards a super show on May 23rd.
Oh, man, you're a busy guy. I mean, I'm looking at your schedule here. You're on the road, it would seem like, almost every weekend, huh?
It's turned out, 2015, pretty much 3 weeks out of every month from now until July is going to be on the road. In fact, there's many times coming up with Cauliflower Alley, I'll be performing in two different cities, ending up in Las Vegas.
That's exciting. Of course, talk about the Cauliflower Alley Club. We have our 50th anniversary reunion coming up April the 13th through 15th. I'm really excited. How about yourself?
I can't tell you how excited I am. I mean, 50 years is amazing for anything, and for a professional wrestling organization, that's even more amazing, and the greatest fact of the matter is it's basically open to anybody who wants to participate. That's what's the greatest part about it, is anybody out there who's in the business or not in the business can participate.
Yeah, I had a couple questions here about Cauliflower Alley we'll get to towards the end of the interview. I want to go back to your experience right now in the business, because when I talked to you last year, Matt, and you were working for UCW, now you've branched out and you know, these other organizations. When you are brought in and when you're working with these other organizations, what do you bring to the table? I mean, you've done some ring announcing, you've done the commissionership role. What experience have you learned over the years in your business that can really be helpful?
Well, I think number one is I was brought up uber old school. I think today too many wrestling schools are cropping up, and I had a discussion with a very prominent individual in the business. He says the problem in the business today is you have marks training marks, and I'm not saying that to crap on anybody or anything like that, but I have that old school upbringing, and so I know how to announce the way you should. I know how to do the commentary the way you should, and I can play characters. And to be honest with you, I do whatever anybody asks me to do. I'm there as a team member to put the show over and make as much money for the promoter as possible.
I remember working with you last year in Las Vegas, and I was really impressed, Matthew, with what you just said, that you really were focused first and foremost on the product and on the show. It was never about yourself. That not easy to find sometimes. There's a lot of egos in this business, isn't there?
You know, in any business, there's a lot of egos when you really think about it. And it gets even when you have I can be in front of a camera or I can be a role player behind the scenes. People almost always want to clamor for that spotlight. And so it is difficult to find them these days.
What's your favorite thing to do when you're working a wrestling show? I mean, did you like being the commissioner? Would you rather be the ring announcer or color commentator? Do you have a favorite?
You know, it's kind of funny because I get asked that a lot. And like a lot of times when I come into an organization, people ask me, what do you want to do? And I like a little bit of both. I love doing ring announcing because I can literally watch the entire show. I mean, you know how it is. You can literally see great professional wrestling from ringside, better seats than if you paid for it. So I love that aspect of it because that's what it's all about. That's what we get into this for. But I think my favorite thing to do right now is I do a really good heel attorney gimmick, and I really like doing that.
You know, so I saw, Matthew, your work with Destiny Wrestling Organization, and is that what you're doing with the champion, Bully Ray Dudley? You're doing kind of a heel attorney?
That is correct. I'm the direct, quote-unquote, the director of competition, and, we have a face champion that, well, we used to have a face champion until I brought in a guy to take care of business. My guy was Bully Ray. And now my job there is to keep Bully Ray champion.
Well, I, like I said, I saw some great pictures of you with him after the night that he won the title. Had to be exciting for you. You're standing there with the champion.
Oh, it was awesome. I mean, you know, to be honest with you, it was such a great, it was a privilege and an honor to work with someone who's done so many things in the business. And just, you know, honestly, one of the most wonderful experiences I've ever had is just working with such a professional who did not try and big time us, who did not speak down to us, who legitimately worked with us, whose number one priority was business. Wonderful gentleman, awesome person.
There is a big DWO event coming up, the Ides of March, I believe, on March 14th, 2015, at the McKierney Event Center in Albuquerque. He has a big title defense. You've got to be looking forward to that night on March 14th.
Yeah, it's going to be an awesome show. I mean, we put the tickets out there, front row, second row, sold out almost immediately. General admission are still available. And you know, not to put too much emphasis on the main event, the main event's done its job. We have got so many other great wrestlers on that show. You know, the Death Rage Cartel, Tag Team Champions. We've got Hobo Hank. We've got the Freedom Avengers of Pinky. We've got so much great talent on that roster. It's a little bit overshadowed by Don Vitale and Bully Ray, but honestly, these are the best independent wrestling guys I've worked with in almost any organization.
How long have you been in the business now, Matthew?
Since 2007.
2007, and I mean, you're a very impressive guy, like I said, and one thing you've always said to me is that you're trying to constantly learn, and certainly at Cauliflower Alley, it's a continuous learning experience, this business, and you want to be around smart people. What have you learned over the last couple years that has really helped you grow into this performer?
I can tell you right now, the number one thing I've learned that's it's a little bit different than other businesses. In my shoot job, you have to speak out. You have to talk. People want to hear your opinion. You have to, in a meeting, it's very interactive. When you're in professional wrestling, You absolutely 100% have to learn to have your ears open and your mouth shut.
Mm-hmm.
Give respect to those that came before you and gave you this wonderful opportunity. And listen, first and foremost.
Good advice for my son, too.
right, exactly.
Keep your ears open and your mouth shut. That would go a long way. So about 7 to 8 years now in the business, what do you think you personally still need to work on to even maybe take the next step and get even better and better?
You know, I think like I said, there's everybody can work on everything. I think the one thing that, I mean, there's no one aspect of anything that I do to where I feel like, oh, I'm perfect with this or I've made it with that. I really think I just need to learn more than anything how to put together the story while I'm commentating and be a sports commentator. I really try hard to find out what the two workers are trying to put across to the fans and tell that story. But by the same token, you have to be the shoot commentator saying wrist lock, arm bar. So you have to know the moves, throw them in there, and forward the story. You can't give too much of one or the other, or you're just kind of muddy the waters. I think that's really what I have to work on more than anything.
You know, it's kind of funny you mention that because when I've done a little bit of color commentary, not as much as you have. I do mostly ring announcing. But the times that I've done the color commentary, the matches happen really quickly right in front of you. And if you don't know the moves, you can get thrown off pretty quickly. I've seen some moves in the ring like, oh, man, what is that again? And it's got to be right there at your fingertips or else you don't tell the story like it should be told.
Exactly. And I learn a lot from, as you can probably tell, I'm an ECW guy. I learn a lot from Joey Styles, where if he doesn't know a move, he'll make it up. Give it a name. But he's not going to get caught pausing.
Well, and like with radio, dead silence is just a killer.
Yeah, you can't have it. You obviously can't have it. And so if you don't know what a move is, you can make it up. Like I said, I mean, that's how, you know, bubble bombs and, you know, any of these things came right out of Joey Styles' mouth. Or even you see a guy like Gordon Solie did it a little bit. But Joey Styles was a master because in ECW he would see these crazy things that, no one had ever done or seen before. And for him to just come up with the names of these things was amazing. And that's the ability I wish I had. You know, I don't have that ability. That's what I need to work on.
Well, don't sell yourself short. I mean, you're a tremendous color commentator. And what I like about working with you, Matthew, is we felt like a real team out there. When I first started doing this, I guess I didn't understand how important that was. You understand how the two wrestlers in the ring have to be in concert with each other to put on a great match. But the ring announcer, the commentators, the referee, everybody's got a role to play. And I think back to when I was growing up, how good Bobby Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon were, or Jesse Ventura and Vince McMahon. And those legendary teams, it's like they were fighting with each other because they were the heel face announcers, but they really were carrying each other as well. Would you agree?
Oh, I agree 100%. And their ability, and you and I have that ability, to play off of what each other are saying in a conversational mode. That's
right.
So that there's none of those breaks, none of those awkward moments. That's truly has to happen. It is truly a team.
Now, you mentioned sports. You are the Utah Utes football broadcaster as well, correct?
Yeah, well, I work on I'm on the broadcast team for ESPN 700. Bill Riley, a wonderful man, is the play-by-play. Frank Dolce is the color guy. I'm kind of the third guy in the booth that says funny things here and there, but I do spotting for them, and so that's and I've learned from them. Once again, ears open, mouth shut. It's always fun to me to come right off of a football broadcast and then go right into a professional wrestling broadcast because I really feel I can marriage the two and give the people something that they don't usually see or don't usually hear, I should say.
thought I was going to ask you what you thought some of the similar skills that you needed for professional wrestling, broadcasting, and involvement, and then with football. I mean, would you say, I mean, kind of like the need for accuracy, like you said, you're spotting, you got to get the play call right, you got to get the players right, and what happened right in front of you. You're really telling a story, but also being factual.
That is exactly right. I mean, you've got to look at it. If you look at the way that sports broadcasting is set up, you have, like we say, the play-by-play guy, that his main job are to give the facts and what just happened.
Mm-hmm.
The color commentator is generally a former athlete or someone in the business who then gives meaning to those facts. He's the guy that puts the insight behind those facts. So if you look at a professional wrestling broadcast, even if it's complete face heel broadcast, you have one guy telling you the moves, one guy giving you the facts, and then one guy who's, like I said, either a part of the business or plays that role, giving you the meaning behind everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I find sometimes when you watch a indie broadcast, you just have two guys trying too hard to hate each other or play that role, as opposed to really looking at this from a shoot broadcasting standpoint of what are we trying to do here? We're trying to elevate this match better than it actually is, to be honest with you, because it's same in football. When it's a 42-0 blowout, you want to keep people tuned in. So your job is to elevate that match, get the people to believe that they just saw the greatest thing in the world, no matter what just happened, and tell that story and further it off down the line.
Yeah, I've worked with some people, and I've seen, you know that when this is happening, when someone's doing too much to get themselves over.
Yes, you can't do that.
You cannot do it, and it's a delicate balance because you want to be entertaining and you want to be informative and you want to be a part of the show. But at the end of it, it's the wrestlers in the ring or the football teams in the field, and we are a supplementary or complementary piece. Now, when you are the evil attorney and you're getting some of those other roles, now you're playing the crowd a little bit differently, and it is a little more over the top, then, isn't it?
That's exactly right, and that's the whole thing is when you really got to look at it like this. If you're a ring announcer, the best ring announcers, really when you think about it, are the ones that elevate the crowd at the right moments, but nobody really remembers that they were there.
Yeah.
Best commentators, the ones that you go, wow, that was the best match, that was really cool, and I learned something, but now who are those guys? Because you want the focus on the professional wrestling. You want the mm-hmm. focus on the workers. You don't want the focus on yourself because we are like linemen in football. if they know your name, it's hopefully, you know, very few are known for doing a really good job. But usually when I screw someone's name up or call the wrong move or something, that's when people remember me.
Right, it's like a holding penalty, right?
Exactly. So yeah, the linemen, you only hear their names when they hold. In general, you don't see us on YouTube saying, David Buckler did a great job ring announcing. Watch this YouTube video. They'll show, look at Matt Robles, screw this guy's name up. You know, and that's the video that goes out there.
Yeah, that's so true.
And so the role that we accept as announcers and commentators of that, we are best when we're anonymous, really. Unless mm-hmm. they make us part of the show, unless the heel attorney MK character shows up to do color commentator, we're really anonymous, and we're best at being anonymous as long as we do our job.
But I remember last year when we worked together in Las Vegas, and you had made the point to me how you always try to understand the story they're trying to tell in the ring so you can call it that way in the broadcast booth. That was missing for me a little bit because a lot of the promotions I was working with, it would be one-off little shows here and there. I didn't have a lot of the opportunity to work with a promotion over and over and over again. Now, thankfully, that's changed, and I've gotten two promotions now that I'm their exclusive ring announcer going forward. And I'm excited about that, Matthew, because now I do know from show to show how I should do the ring announcing for a certain guy. Who's the face heel here? Because even when you're in the locker room and someone says, oh, you know, so-and-so is going to be the face in this match, you don't know if it's something like how the crowd really feels about that person.
Oh, yeah. Well, exactly, and it's something as simple as generally when, you know, the way I learned it is it's as simple as this, too, is when the face goes over, and your winner, when the heel goes over, and the winner of the match.
Oh, I like, yeah, I like that little subtlety.
And so, you know, you want to elevate that winner face, and your winner, as opposed to, and the winner, you know, you don't sound too disappointed, but if you do it enough, that crowd will respond.
Mm-hmm. You are on stage the whole time when you're out there.
Yes.
Now, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about what's going on in today's wrestling, outside of your personal involvement. Are you excited for WrestleMania 31? Do you plan to watch?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I think the WWE is doing everything right to get the main event to do its job, to draw in the crowd. I really think the whole give Divas a chance worked. I think that got attention to the Divas and got people interested in them again. I really like what's going on, actually.
Are you interested in seeing Sting?
I am. I am. I mean, I think there was enough time off that there's interest there. Once again, I would have had a problem if he would have came. I would have rather seen those history. I would have rather seen it 15 years ago, yes. Now that it's happening now, there was enough of a time off from when he left TNA to now that I really believe the interest is there. Are they going to be able to put on a 5-star match? We'll see. But I do like the fact that this is finally happening.
Well, one of my criticisms of WrestleMania in the past, really, 8-9 years, and look, I love it. You know, I'm a big WWE fan.
Sure.
I'm not going to pretend that I'm not. However, I'm not a big fan of the fact that they bring in The Rock for, like, one match, or they bring in Sting for one match, or The Undertaker only wrestles one match. I understand that it adds to the ceremony and the importance of the show, but I liked it back when, you know, the main event of WrestleMania 5 was Macho Man versus Hogan, but they were two regular performers on the roster, knowing that match would have ramifications going forward throughout the storylines of the next 6 months to a year. Whereas, okay, so Sting's going to wrestle Triple H. He's probably not going to be wrestling at SummerSlam. I mean, it seems like he's like a one-match deal. And like with The Rock and John Cena matches, The Rock was not a full-time performer on the roster. Am I overthinking that?
I think you're right on. I mean, the thing that I think that happened is back in the day, you had to work harder to generate interest for WrestleMania. Because at the time, WrestleMania hadn't become a pop culture thing, where even non-wrestling fans, kind of like the Super Bowl, non-football fans will watch the Super Bowl just because. Non-wrestling fans watch WrestleMania because it's a pop culture thing to do. So I think the WWE doesn't have to work as hard to get the wrestling community interested, especially because there's no competition now. But I think they do the one-offs just to appeal to the people who may have watched wrestling back in 1993 and watch WrestleMania every year. So I really think that my one criticism would be with yours, that they may be playing a little too much to the fringe element than to the hardcore wrestling fan. But I think it's because they don't have to work as hard.
And now that The Undertaker is not riding the streak anymore, he's 21-1, is there still interest in his appearance? The fact that I guess he's going to wrestle Bray Wyatt, does that appeal to you?
Personally, Matt Robles, no, it doesn't appeal to me just because it doesn't really have, there's no heat there. There's really no heat. They didn't create the reason. The best feuds are created when there's a reason for fight. In
right.
pro wrestling, the best, the thing that I love about, and it goes back to what you said, the thing that I love about the old school stuff is that you would have a legitimate build and a reason to why two guys are fighting. I don't like the fact The Undertaker is coming in to fight this guy because I don't see the heat there.
Right.
What if he wins? So what? What if he loses? I don't get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I do. I would argue that's my same criticism with that as well. Do you have here we are in the 31st WrestleMania. Do you have a favorite WrestleMania or a favorite WrestleMania match?
Well, I mean, you're gonna have to go with Steamboat Savage, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And then Yeah, I mean, and then I like Andre Hogan. One thing, I'm an old school guy. I mean, I think any of the matches the Dudley Boys have been in, those are the type of matches I like, because if you really look at it, like you and I were just kind of alluding to, there was this huge build to those matches.
Yeah.
There was a reason why they were there. There was a "you called my mama something else, so now I'm going to make you pay" type of heat. So those are the reasons why those are my favorite matches.
It's hard to explain to someone who is a little bit younger than us why Hogan versus Andre was so amazing. Because they may look at
right.
it on YouTube. Yeah, they may look at it on YouTube and say, "Well, Andre couldn't even work back then. It was slow. It was plodding. Hogan's limited." I'm telling you, Matthew, when Hogan came to the ring and they had that stare down at the beginning, I almost passed out from excitement.
Mm-hmm. That's the art of the build.
It was great.
That is. I mean, gosh, you know, you go back to almost any of these matches back in the day. You realize real quick, the art of professional wrestling isn't always what happens in the ring. It's what you assign meaning to that match. Why am I behind this guy? Why do I want this guy to kick this other guy's butt? That Hogan-Andre was built up so much, literally so much of a super clash, that, like you said, when they finally were facing each other, you nearly did pass out. It was that exciting. It was made that exciting by good storytelling.
It was great. By the way, so I went to WrestleMania 4 and 5 when I was a kid because they were in Atlantic City, New Jersey, and I grew up very close to there. And
right.
I've always contended that as great as WrestleMania 3 was, and I think it's my favorite show of all time, and the Hart Foundation were the champions, and it was just a great show. WrestleMania 4, the tournament itself, I thought was a massive letdown. And I thought, if you watch it again and how it was booked and all, I thought it was terrible. And for example, why did Vince not give us Macho Man versus Steamboat 2 the next year? Why would they not have that rematch in the second round? Instead, Steamboat loses to Greg Valentine?
It was unbelievable. And it was the first round match. I mean, they didn't even meet in the second round or anything.
I didn't like the fact that Hogan and Andre got the byes in the first round and had to face each other, so you knew only one of them was going to go forward. They should have teased Hogan and Andre all the way through, you know, on separate sides of the bracket and all that kind of... If you look at the roster of the 14 guys in that tournament, it's unbelievable. Jake Roberts and Rick Rude and Bam Bam Bigelow and One Man Gang. I mean, you're talking major, major, major names. Ted DiBiase. But it was not executed well. Is that a fair criticism?
Oh, yeah. Well, remember Rick Rude and Jake Roberts? Wasn't that a time limit draw?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it went like 10, 15 minutes. I mean, WrestleMania, you're going to have a time limit draw? Really?
Yeah.
I they had a great concept and totally came off horrible.
That's the problem, is it was a great concept coming off of the big match at WrestleMania 3 and then the controversy with the two Dave Hebners. So, just anyway, that's my own personal heart. I went to that show, and I wanted it to be amazing, and I think they fell a little short. Let me ask you this, moving on to TNA for a second. You know, they've kind of rebranded themselves, Matthew, with Destination America coming in, and they have a new logo. They're back to the six-sided ring. Can TNA stand on its own and still be an important promotion?
I really feel that when TNA was hottest in 2007, 8, and 9, what made them so hot is they were different.
Mm-hmm.
You could be a fan of WWE and TNA at the same time because they were so different. You could get what you wanted out of WWE, and then you could watch and get what you wanted on a Thursday night from TNA. Where mm-hmm. I felt that they went wrong is when they tried to compete directly with WWE and become another WWE,
mm-hmm.
which made them just appear to be a second-rate WWE. So I really believe if they can be different, going back to the six-sided ring, great. If they can be different, get some more of the homegrown talent, I think they got a shot. I'm afraid it might be too late with too little.
I watched the debut back in early January, and you can change the graphics all you want. To me, the show felt kind of the same.
I agree.
I was not overly impressed. And I want it to succeed because, the more open spots in this business for workers, good for them, good for the competition. And I would like to see TNA successful. But, boy, you hit the nail on the head. When they tried to compete, that just was never going to work. And I want to ask you also, if you're a UFC fan.
I am, very much so. Love the sport.
Are you looking forward to CM Punk and his debut?
In a sense, I have mixed feelings on that. I love the fact that we have professional wrestlers wanting to cross over. Brock Lesnar, now it's going to be CM Punk. However, I wish the focus was on UFC and their workers and their fighters and not on a guy who's making a crossover, just because I would rather, they don't need it. They shouldn't have to have it. If he came in with very little fanfare and just was just fought someone, that's cool. I'll watch it, but I just hope there isn't this big hype behind it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think, unfortunately, the pro wrestling community is certainly going to make his debut a big deal.
Yeah, oh, I agree.
I watched Ronda Rousey on Saturday night, and of course her title defense lasted all of 14 seconds, and I posted it on Facebook. I thought it was exhilarating because I remember Mike Tyson, and it didn't matter how long the match went. That sheer power and dominance is attractive to me. Versus, unlike Floyd Mayweather, who's brilliant, but he goes 12 rounds and he always wins a decision.
I'd have to agree.
And I kind of find his matches boring because he's brilliant defensively. He dances around, and at the end, he never gets touched. I think Ronda Rousey is mesmerizing. Where do they go with her? I mean, do you like her?
I do. I love her. Here's the thing: you and I are about the same age. I was. I don't know if you remember back in the day when Tyson would be on ESPN once a month, knocking these guys out in the first and second round, and then he got up against Pinklin Thomas and. That to me, just like you said, was awesome to watch. I understood the sport of boxing, and it is. And I joke about the 14 seconds being bad booking, because people like us are used to say, "Hey, in the main event, if it doesn't go 9 to 10 minutes of amazing stuff, then I'm gonna go on my blog and say it sucked." You know what I mean? Shoot fighting is a lot different. Dominance is attractive. Dominance. And being the best of your at what you do is great. And what I see happening now with Ronda Rousey is amazing. And it's too bad that people aren't taking the time to recognize that. Because it is. It's the difference between, say, Mike Tyson and Larry Holmes.
Right.
Remember
right.
Watching Larry Holmes' matches? He was dominant, but gosh, do you want to see another 15-round Larry Holmes versus Randall Tex Cobb?
Well, and
Larry, you want to watch Ronda Rousey knock someone out in 14 seconds.
It's funny we're talking about Larry Holmes because he kind of gets lost in history. He had a long heavyweight title reign, right, Matthew? But very non-distinguished, and then again, that great that he beat. The fights weren't that exciting.
Yeah, but look at Mike Tyson. He didn't hold the belt as long, but people still talk about it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, I think she's incredible. I remember when the Dream Team in '92 for the United States. Just obliterated the world at the Olympics, and everyone was like, "Well, that's not good for basketball." But what it did do was it made everyone around the world elevate, and then we have some amazing international players and some real competition. And I'm hoping that there's not a lot of women out there right now that can touch her, but maybe as we go down the line here, it will elevate female MMA and we'll get some better competition.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I guess. I could lie to you, but I'm not going to. I really was going to use that analogy because that is true. Because that is exactly what it did. It set the measuring stick that much higher. So yeah. Now that's how tough I've got. In 5 years from now, I guarantee there's going to be fighters at her level, because that's just if the measuring sticks. 2 feet off the ground. That's all as high as you have to jump. That's all you're going to train for. But when it's set 10 feet, then you train harder for it. She just set the measuring stick. And now I think, Jared, my secretary didn't know the first thing about fighting until Ronda Rousey. And she went this last weekend to Los Angeles and watched it in person.
Well, let me ask you this. In all seriousness, is she the biggest star in UFC now, especially with some of the drug problems that, you know, Anderson Silva, for example, has had?
I believe so, and I'll tell you why. There's a local pub that I go to here to watch the UFC fights when I don't order it at my house. And quite frankly, I don't, because I'd rather pay $5 and be with cool people than $60 and be by myself, okay?
Well, no, I agree with you.
All the UFCs leading up to this, it was a full bar. Not unlike any other Saturday night. This fight, the place was jam-packed. Every place that you went that was showing the fight was jam-packed. Why? The main event did its job. Ronda Rousey.
Mm-hmm.
Right, say yes, she is.
When she comes out of the dressing room, man, she looks like she's going to tear your throat off.
Oh, yeah. And then the thing about it is, I've got to say it, she's very beautiful.
Sure.
You look at her as a female and a female athlete who can kick your butt, that's very attractive. That's a package you can sell.
It's a little like Danica Patrick if Danica Patrick won a lot of races.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly right. And I think there's a little bit something more primal to pummeling people in the face than going around 20 times in a circle. You know what I mean? But you're right, yeah.
So as we move in here now, Matthew, to the NBA playoffs, I'm a huge NBA fan. Do you watch a lot of pro basketball?
You know, I don't. I'm more interested in college basketball. I'm more, just in general, I'm more of a college basketball, football, college athlete fan. Because I'm one of those crotchety old guys that says the pros don't try hard enough. Once they get their money, they don't try hard enough. That's kind of how I feel. I'm one of those guys. So I'm looking forward to March Madness.
I am too. And North Carolina is a decent team this year. I don't think my Tar Heels have enough to go all the way through. But I like it too. But now, here's the thing. Now I know what to talk to you and twist your arm when we get to Vegas and try to convince you that you got to watch more NBA. I know what my goal is now.
I promise you I will do it because you're an important individual to me, and I will do it.
Hey, Matthew, we're going to let you go here. Before we do, where can people find you on social media or Twitter, Facebook, anything like that?
Okay, my working name is the MK Bandit. So if you Google the MK Bandit, I am the only guy with that moniker. So it's at the MK Bandit on Twitter, Facebook, the MK Bandit. And then my name, Matthew Robles. I have several websites set up, MatthewRobles.org, MatthewRobles.com.
Very good. I'll make sure I post all that information here with the interview. I want to congratulate you on all your recent successes and just staying so busy and
thank
making
you,
such a business, Matthew. And I know you're going to have a lot of fun on March 14th as part of Ides of March. DWO presents that great event in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Champion Bully Ray Dudley defending the title will be right there next to him. Congratulations again, and let's do this again real soon.
Yes, sir. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
You got it. And I'll see you in a few weeks out in Las Vegas.
I'm really looking forward to that. I really can't wait. We're going to have a lot of fun.
Definitely. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Take care, my friend. We'll see you.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Don't forget to check out the OWW website at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com for the latest news, analysis, and updates from the world of professional wrestling. While you're there, you can also catch up on past episodes of OWW Radio. Email us at radio@OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com to submit topics or questions you would like us to discuss on an upcoming broadcast. Also, make sure to follow us on Twitter at OWWCOM to get all program updates and announcements. We'll also be posting directly to the official OWW Facebook homepage. Till next time, I am David. Thanks again to Matthew Robles for today's interview. Follow him on Twitter at the MK Bandit and on Facebook, his page, MK Bandit. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll be back soon with another edition of OWW Radio.